My name is Grant Vermeer, a member of the Crown Refs community. My first year as a high school official, that's when I found out about the Crown Refs community. Having my military background, I love being a part of teams. I want to be a part of a group that has high standards, that holds each other accountable, but also supports and loves each other, and has a desire for everyone in the group to grow. If you're a young referee or someone who loves refereeing and wants to be a part of a group, this is an amazing community for you. I feel like I've gotten better as an official. I've had a community and friends and support through this process, which can otherwise be a little bit lonely as you're on the road a lot. The culture is amazing in here. Make sure to come check it out.
Serve the game.
To join our community, simply go to patreon.com/crownrefs to choose your tier, or you can schedule a one-to-one call with me directly if you email me at crownrefs@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs podcast, the audio experience for basketball officials. Serve the game.
Welcome back to episode 4 of In the Paint featuring John McNeil. Serve the game.
Going back to your fouls and trolls, the comment about being a mechanic, sir, anything that talks about the fact that, like, you focus on, like, being a professional and how you look and being sharp and presentable, anything that, like, talks about that just cracks me up. Because I'm like, you would say the exact same thing if we were talking about, if we didn't address, like, the sloppy, you know, the open hand travels or the open, you know. And so anytime that somebody talks about, oh, you, I can't believe you're just working on mechanics, that's why officials are so bad, because they're working on that. Like, no, that's why they look good, what they do. Yeah. So those are my favorite ones.
He was like, you're such a mechanics nerd. Reffing is the best.
You are such a mechanics nerd. Ha ha ha. I love the content. Thanks for doing this. Reffing is the best.
That's what I'm saying, partner. Appreciate you for liking the content and commenting in a positive way.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was on the most recent one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an older clip that I've reposted. I'm doing a lot of reposts because I have so much content. Like, and most people don't see what you put out.
That's
nowadays
fair.
With the algorithm, like, most people won't see it. So there's never, you're never going to be like, oh, when are they going to stop playing this one video? Because chances are most people didn't see it. So,
right.
That's helpful as a creator to inspire you to do more and post more, because we stress about what someone might say, but they're probably not going to see it. So just put out as much as you can.
By the time they've seen it, this, you know, hundreds of people have probably seen it.
Yeah.
They're like behind on the curve. All right. I'm trying to find, let me see if I can open the actual clip first. Yeah. So this clip, can you see it?
Yeah.
All right. So this clip, it was a super, like, I came in super late to get the offensive foul. I don't like how quickly I did my mechanics. However, that's neither here nor there, because I think I got this right. And this is what I'm going to end up sharing in the group to get other people's opinion on how I could be better about catching it. So it's an offensive foul. White comes in through the back, white 22 here. I will literally, like, jump through, and then blue loses their footing.
Don't worry.
Okay, this is a different... this is a different foul.
Foul and troll?
Yeah.
What do you got there? Hit to the arm? Cross the...
Yeah, I think she ends up coming down and, like, holding her. Like, it's... I mean, hold versus hit is kind of neither here nor there on this one.
Right.
She reaches down. She hits her. Like, she hits her across the body in
just
that one.
Just back this up just 5 seconds to when you're, like, running parallel to around the free throw line.
Right here.
Yeah. Freeze it. So, like, okay. Right around here is when you want to just get your eyes to the defender.
Right.
I'm not 100 from based on this image. If your eyes are at the defender, maybe they are. But it looks like more they're on the ball handler. And then what we do is we follow the ball handler all the way to the rim. And then when the defender plays it, it's like we react. It's like, oh. But if we just shift our eyes there and we're kind of waiting for it, and we just kind of see more of the play. So just keep that in mind when you're on a fast break or when you have multiple defender plays, to switch your eyes to that next defender who's up, stepping up.
Right. Let's see. Yeah. So here, I think this is where I had picked her up when she was at the free throw line. And that's when she had reached across the body of her. She hits her right there.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Which causes her to go the other way and
Yeah.
There's that one. So this is the one that I was just talking about with white 22 coming through the back of blue. So, I mean, pretty clear that she makes the illegal contact here. All right, she's coming. Defender's got the blue's got the ball. She makes the illegal contact. And then as she comes down, she's now lost her balance. I am curious to see when people would have blown their whistle on this one, because I come in. I mean, she's already on the ground, lost the ball. I'm now going the other way, mm-hmm. and I blow my whistle. Right. So we have like 1, 2, 3, almost 3 seconds from the time of illegal contact to the time that I blow the whistle. And then on top of that, I have a fast, you know, foul signal and then pointing. So if I'm being self-critical, right, on my mechanics, I'm boop and then pointing, right? Up, pause, point. And this one, I just kind of went boop and pointed. So,
yep.
What are your thoughts?
Let's watch it full speed. And whose primary whistle do you think this is?
Mine.
Good.
Because it's a rebound. Where it's initiated.
What'd you say?
Because of where it initiated, and it's a rebounding foul.
Right. And it's backside contact too, which mm-hmm. is hard for the lead to see. And it's right in your wheelhouse. So yeah, this is Trail's responsibility. Trail has to help out on rebounding coverage, backside mm-hmm. contact plays. All right.
And I think we had just had a rotation, which is why I'm so low, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, full speed.
This episode of the Crown Refs podcast is brought to you by RefereeStore.com. To save 15% on all United Attire products, enter Crown15 at checkout. We hope you enjoy this episode, and do us one last favor before you listen. Have a great rest of your day.
Yuck.
Yeah.
All right, one more time. So number one, I would not be running. I don't think I would be starting your commute towards new lead yet, because this mm-hmm. play is still going on. So that's one principle to take away. Like, just stay put.
Stay here.
Because you're still going to, even if she doesn't fall, you're kind of refereeing that one or two dribbles as she's dribbling towards you, because the mm-hmm. lead doesn't have full acceptance of that yet. Could be a stack. Right. And those are just plays, whether you're the Trail or C, if it's coming to you and there's still a play going on in the backcourt, there's still a defender trying to make a play, she's still trying to secure a rebound, that play in the backcourt is still happening.
Okay.
So let's not start the commute. That's number one. I would have probably had a whistle a split second earlier, as soon as you see the bear hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you blew your whistle because you gave her a chance to maintain her balance and she fell on the ground. But I don't know if this is necessarily one of those plays we be patient on. We just kill it because it's just a backside push. So boop this way. Let's watch one more time. Boop. Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
So just a frame quicker. Stamp, and I think if you maybe stayed put and didn't start running, maybe the whistle would have came a little sooner. I mean, you got the play. You had the correct call. That's good. We're just trying mm-hmm. to iron out a couple things that you could have did better. So just stop the clock. Give it a extra second to where it's just this, and then a strong point this way, blue ball. And then when you report, white 24 pushes white or blue. Mm-hmm. And then one more point at the table just shows a lot of clarity and command.
Yeah. This was, so I think we're also, we're in, white already has 5 fouls. So this then becomes a shooting foul for us, right? Right.
Okay.
So mechanically, and I don't think I put it in here, but mechanically, I screwed this up. So I should have come across the table. I didn't. I ended up going to be the slot on the free throws, and the lead was like, "Hey, you need to go to the table side." And I was like, "Okay."
That you know what? I don't even care about that stuff.
I know, but that's personal for me. Like, I want to.
No, that's cool.
I want to get better.
Just think about, in the grand scheme of things, what switching in the wrong position looks like. Does anyone know besides the crew? Like, does it mean anything?
No.
Like, if you consistently do it, then it means you need more education on how to work the three-person system. If you do it once, just get to the next play and don't make that cringeworthy. It's not cringeworthy. I've done it 4 times this year. I got there. I went and rotated, and my partner was standing right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we have two officials on the same side. No worries. I'll just go back. I don't care that everybody's looking at me. I don't care that there's – it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Positivity.
Right. And then so here's the mechanic reporting. 22, push.
Hold on 1 second, John.
Yep.
Hey. Yeah. Okay. Do I'm gonna drop it up? Bring it outside real quick. You wanna bring it outside? All right. Okay, I'll give it a look. All right. Coming out now. Second.
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, we're back.
Sweet.
My wife needed the laundry card delivered, and it has been delivered.
That works.
Yes, sir. you were at reporting.
Oh, yeah. I did not like this report at all. Oh, that's not – why is this not playing?
Slightly high. Okay, yeah, the push. We got to improve the push.
Yeah, it was
– the push looked like an animal attack.
Yeah, like the bear hug. Like, yeah, bear hug, except I didn't say bear hug, and I should have just – you know, from here, from chest, like you always say, chest,
you know,
straight
it
out, be strong.
You know it.
Yep. I know. And I don't know. This game didn't get into my head. At least I didn't, while I was there, I didn't feel like the game or this, because this is the technical foul game that we talked about a couple sessions ago. And I don't feel like it got into my head. But the more that I see some of my body language and how I reported and how I was moving, it's very clear that I was subconsciously affected, but not enough that it affected the calling of the game. Sure. Just, you know, the more how I moved, which is such a weird psychological phenomenon when you think about like all the different things that go into how we move our bodies on a daily basis, right? The smallest thing can affect how you walk, what your gait looks like. And you might not even know it.
Yeah.
But if you start looking at yourself on film, and I think that's one of the things that I'm glad that I have more access to film now. Yeah. And I'm glad that like NFHS is finally doing their like, hey, officials, you guys have free access to watch your film so you can continue to improve. Do?
Free?
At least in Alabama.
Cool.
We have access to the NFHS. Like clip video system so we can go back and watch film. I haven't had any high school games yet this year. So I don't have any access to that, but they're taking a, you know, page out of college's book and saying, okay, well, if college is going to be able to use Synergy and DV Sport and all these other things, and that's how the officials improve, we have to do something too. And then it goes into, okay, younger officials, how do you watch film? And I know RefMasters just did a whole masterclass on how you watch film. And there's a lot of people who are really good. I did not. I was actually working during that one, unfortunately. But you know, the next time there's a masterclass on film, I'm gonna try to get onto it, because I think it's so important to understand how to watch film and how to break it down, especially if you don't have a system like Synergy or DV Sport that automatically breaks down like every whistle, every play, all those types of things. Because I don't think NFHS does that. So you have to go back and watch the entire hour and a half game. So learning how to be able to do that is, I think, key for the younger officials. Because then you get into stuff like this where I look at my mechanics and say, oh, okay, fourth quarter, you know, we're 4 minutes left in the game. This is how I'm moving. What happened prior? Oh, yeah, at 9:30 in the third quarter, I gave a technical foul to the head coach. And so recognizing those things is, for me, really important when I move forward and look at my different clips and how I review plays.
Good self-reflection.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Did you want to show me the technical foul plays? Because it's not too fresh in my mind. I know we spoke about it last time.
I don't know if I clipped that one. Go back onto it. This is the one where we had talked about in the first half, we talked about warning the coach, and we went at halftime saying,
too many warnings.
Yep. And then we never gave him an official warning. And so
we're when too I gave nice. A technical. Hey, newsflash. Newsflash, we're all too nice.
Yeah. We give too much leeway to coaches that bark and disrespect us on a consistent basis. And, you know, you and I had that conversation on the way back from one of my games. And, the more I reflect on it, the more I'm like, no, it doesn't matter if he wasn't, because I went back and looked on film and he was not chasing me up the court. Like I thought he was in my head, but it doesn't matter because he was still very boisterous and adamant. And I'm like, okay, no, he deserved, that was his warning. Like we can sit here and say, hey, we're not going to do this all day. Have the conversation, not every play coach, not every play, not every time up the court, we're not going to do it. That right there should be a warning in itself. Do we have to have official warnings by rule? Sometimes yes, but if they're doing the things that they need to be awarded a technical foul for, then they need to get the technical foul. And I'm like, okay, because I'll tell you what, he, for the rest of the game after that technical foul, he didn't say a word until the last 10 seconds when I'm inbounding the ball for the team that he beat by like double digits.
What did he say 10 seconds left?
As we're inbounding the ball, going back across, he started saying, yeah, well, she could say all that stuff and I get a technical foul for absolutely nothing. And like, he's intentionally looking
to get ejected.
Looking past me. Yes. He should have been ejected.
He's taking the ejection dice and he's rolling them.
Yeah. And he got lucky because he rolled a non-ejection, which he should have got ejected.
You're saying you should have ejected him in that moment?
Absolutely.
So like what was
in my head?
What pulled you back? What was the moment where the chemicals you were about to, and then you just passed? What? Tell me about that. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, I think it was a mental process of, okay, he's got a technical. He's saying this stuff. He needs to knock it off. And I'm sitting here saying, Coach, please just knock it off. Last 10 seconds, please. We're almost done. And I inbound the ball, and then he says what he says. And my thought process is, ball's already in play. 10 seconds left. He's winning. Let's just go home. And right. I think that's
what most people do.
Yeah.
That's called the easy road.
Yeah.
We all love the easy road.
Yeah.
And it's like, we say to ourselves, there's 8 seconds left. The game's over. Mm-hmm. Do I really want to do this? But we all know what the right thing is.
Yeah.
It's just hard to do the right thing.
Yeah. And I think at that point, you know, the conversation in my head with myself was, don't do it.
Don't eject them, right?
Yeah. And I don't know if there was any unconscious bias, because he had said at some point when I was talking to him about the technical foul, he had said, I'm not looking to get ejected in, you know, the first half of the season, and I don't even have an assistant.
Irrelevant and irrelevant. Next.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't even address those comments. I just like, okay, I hear you.
Like, he didn't have an assistant, so the game would have been over there, right?
Yes.
Can you imagine the lack of intelligence by even, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, us as officials think we're the bad guys. And when you had initially said to me, I didn't like the tech, I said to myself, I don't think I've ever disliked a tech. As a matter of fact, we owe the coaches thousands more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, this is not your voice that's telling you it wasn't a good tech. This is not your voice that's saying keep playing and let them do that. It's all the voices we've listened to for the however long we've been involved in basketball. And it's the culture that's allowed it.
Right.
And it's normal to deal with that when we have to break it. We have to break the mold.
Yeah.
So I knew as soon as you were explaining the technical foul, I'm like, I know this is a technical foul, and my thing is, why does he not like it? I want to get him to be more accepting of it. Like, it's, you probably, he deserved it. I already know he deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved one in the first half, and we should have given him one. We didn't, which is on us. You know, we can't always blame the coaches for not getting technical fouls, because we have to be the ones to recognize those things. And I'm not blaming either of my partners either. I think it was a collective of, okay, we're all on the same page, for lack of better terms. We're all on the same page of how we're, like, what we're letting go with the coach. And then the second half, I said, no, I've had enough. And I also should have recognized that if he said, I don't even have an assistant coach, what I should have said back to him was, okay, coach, you don't have an assistant, so you know how important it is for you to not put yourself in this situation for the remainder of the game.
That's a that's a powerful response that would have showed the leverage that you have in the situation and the lack of leverage that he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's total lack of self-realization. He doesn't even know he's in a basketball game right now.
Right.
Total lack of awareness.
He's so focused on the officiating and the fact that he doesn't have an assistant coach, so he's got to worry about his girls and the officials, that he's not worrying about his girls and or his team.
John, I had a high school game this week. It was, I would say, like a low level inner city varsity game.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave 6 technical fouls.
Gracious.
We gave the coach a technical foul. The first thing he said, technical foul. One coach of team A shouts at my partner, technical foul. Not even a word to him, technical foul. Couple possessions later, the other coach stomps his feet at my partner, technical foul.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the game, double technical foul, 2 players. Another game, trash talk, technical foul. After that, 11 seconds left in the game, taunting, technical foul.
Jeez.
I got in the locker room and I gave my partner a hug. I said, there's just too much hate out there. Let's show some love. You know, but yeah. You know, I learned a lot through that game, because that was one of those games, and I don't listen to outside noise, but right, you hear people in the crowd, you hear the players, you hear the assisting coaches and their reaction to the technical fouls and mm-hmm. their summary of it. Like, this is ridiculous. I even heard players say, these are middle school refs. Like, he said it in a low voice. How is this a technical foul? So throughout the journey of the game, you know, self-doubt creeps into all of us. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. Are we being too harsh? Like, no. We had an observer that game, and he was like, every single technical foul was spot on. We don't give enough technical fouls. I love what you guys did in that game. Don't, you know, this was one of those games where it was 2 refs versus the entire gym.
Yeah.
But that's why positive self-talk is important. Not getting emotional is important. Not reacting to bad behavior is important. And just staying consistent in your role and running the game. Serving the game and upholding that sportsmanship and respect. And it's like dirt on our hands, but we got to get our hands a little dirty. And then we go in the locker room and we sanitize, we clean it off, and we get to the next game physically and mentally and emotionally. But I wanted to share that situation with you because it was a little challenging throughout that game. Like, there's many officials that would walk away from that game being like, this is the worst. I'm never reffing here again. So unprofessional, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's highs and lows of this business. You know, not every game is going to be pretty, and we can't control the character of that game. We can only respond. Right. Some officials think they create the personality of the game. It's just totally out of our hands. I mean, there's times we can insert ourselves within the rules, but it's already kind of, it's being laid out for us. We just got to maneuver around it with it.
Yeah. We don't set the personality of the game. We can change the personality of the game. We can, you know, inserting ourselves can do one of two things. It can either heighten and explode, or it can set some people into their seats and have them recognize that, okay, we're like, I need to have a mentality shift.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, so many people are used to refs being walked over and walking over refs and them not saying that saying, don't, you know, stop, here's a technical foul, that when they do have it, it sets them off and then they're gone. And, I think you're absolutely right. I think your observer's right. We as officials, at almost every level, don't give enough technical fouls. And I say almost every level because I've not officiated at the NBA level, and I don't know what their stance on. You know, I know that there's the respect for the game.
I think it's important to exclude the NBA from these type of talks. You know, like, I think
that's fair.
College, high school, you can link them more.
Okay.
NBA, it's like they're doing their own thing. Like, there's, it's a different product.
Yeah. Different. It's a different teaching philosophy.
Sure is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Just to finish that point, the two technical fouls that we gave to the coaches, mm-hmm. I feel like most people would not even given a technical foul. Most people would not even have given a warning for that. Like, right. The coaches were almost shocked. And my thing is like, no, this is like automatic, but it's so commonly accepted. Like, your reaction and being, come on, ref. That was so common for you to do that. And it was shocking for you to see the result of an official who's going to enforce the sportsmanship rules to the best mm-hmm. of his ability.
Right.
It's just, it's not job responsibility I think a lot of people are interested in or have the stamina for. So the ones like us are caused to clean up the mess and be firmer with their approach. So
yeah,
but we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are not comfortable with conflict nowadays.
Most.
Yeah. And I think the way to combat that is to take those younger officials who are more and more, it seems like, more and more uncomfortable with true conflict, and helping them and not just leaving them out to dry. And I think a lot of the times when we have the mentality shift of, for lack of better terms, the good old boys club, it's fine. You know, you just suck it up, get over it. It's like, no, that's not how this works. That's how you lose 53% of officials that are quitting after their first 2 years because they can't handle it. And you're just telling them, it's fine, get over it. Just let them walk over you. And so I think, you know, officials, especially the ones in this community and, you know, a couple of the other communities that I'm in, like, making sure that we're mentoring and guiding and backing up those officials. And, you know, when they put their foot down and they give a technical foul, backing them up and being there for them, because it's hard for a newer official to give a technical foul than it is for somebody who's been officiating for 8 or 9 years in the exact same situation. I think it's so important to be like, hey, great, great technical foul. Fantastic. Because you know they're in their head.
Mm-hmm.
first year official gives a technical foul for to a coach that's well established in a community, and now they're yelling at them, and now they're yelling at you because you're their partner, and they've walked away, and you know, making sure, especially making sure that you go across, and if you recognize the telltale signs, the visible signs, the head hang, the like, the shoulder shrugs, the heavy breathing, like there are signs that officials give, newer officials give, that you're like, okay, hey, you know, dead ball, hey, come on, you go to the other side, I got this.
Yeah.
And then you go and insert yourself to the coach and let them yap your ear off, because they know that if they say something to you, they're gone. And yeah, I think it's the mentoring is there, and it needs to get stronger, just in the entirety of the officiating realm. But I think it's communities like Crown, and hopefully, you know, soon enough, Unbiased Zebras and a couple of, you know, the other study groups that I'm in, like, it's going to take us to do it. And I think we're all on the right path.
That's why I love talking so deeply about mental performance and emotional intelligence, because this is way bigger than officiating. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many components of our job that are outside of the black and white, outside of the rule book.
Yeah.
So many things we need to clean up in our mindset that can directly impact the way we're calling a game, the way we're approaching a conversation, the way we're managing a coach, the way we're treating our partners, and so on and so forth. So I think we're on the right page, and you're right about mentoring. More people just need to step up. The mm-hmm. beginning of Crown Refs in 2018, that's when I became a mentor. So I didn't like wait 7 years to practice mentoring. Once I was ready to mentor, I'm like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're starting a movement, and more people can mentor. Matter of fact, pretty much everyone can mentor in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is just helping each other. It's being a good teammate. It's guiding. It's giving good advice when you can. And the more people we have all contributing, the stronger we're getting. And I feel like overall, we're getting stronger. Feel like the referee community is getting younger, is getting more skilled and more talented.
Mm-hmm.
And these things take time. Piece by piece, brick by brick, game by game, possession by possession. But we all love it. And the game is inspiring to us. The game is fun. And it provides a lot of legs and juice for us officials to kind of go all in on the craft and learn as much as we can and be as great as we think we can. So it's fun.
Yeah, it really is.
And you got to be fueled by things that you enjoy. And because that's what makes it sustainable. Like we were talking about 5 years of the Crown Refs podcast. Wow, 5 years happened already. There's no way I can do a podcast if I'm not loving what I'm doing.
Exactly.
So I'm glad I'm here with you now. And this has been a heck of a session. Hey, we recorded the video part, so I think we hit on some really good conversations that'll be helpful for our listeners of this episode. So we want to thank everybody for their time, their dedication to wanting to become a better official, spending time with us here to learn, and we just ask you to give back in any way that you can. John, what are some final thoughts you have for this beautiful and glorious Sunday in January 2024?
Yeah. Take the day, seize it, and just love everybody.
Boom.
That's it. That's it. You know, seize the day. Go out, do the things you want to do. Don't let other people's negativity infect you, and just do it. Do what you want to do, and then just love everybody. So we talked about earlier, so much hate in the world. Just send out the love.
Yeah, and we need more grown men like me and you championing that word to other grown people. Love. Mm-hmm. We need to show more love. We need to share more love. We need to give more love.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Thank you for hitting on that. Thank you for matching my positivity. And I appreciate you being a part of my journey, and I'm honored I could be part of yours.
I appreciate you, Paul, so much.
This was great, man. Have a great rest of your weekend, and best of luck with your recovery. Let me know how that goes.
Thanks. I will. Appreciate it.
Great stuff.
Yes, sir.
This was fire, bro.
Right?
Yeah. That was a hell of a pod.
Oh, that was so good.
You should post this. I'll give you the clip.
I will.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Not today. I think I was able to get enough of the clips uploaded. Like I said, I've got more coming through. I've got more stuff that I'm going to be able to work on, more time to actually do things with this new job. So
good. All right, brother. I'm going to go play in the snow with these kiddos. You have a great Sunday.
Thanks. You too, Paul.
Later, brother.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast. Serve the game.
All right, Johnny Gleish reaching out. We're going knee tuck. Comfortable feel, you know, easy to put on. In the locker room before a game, I'll put them, hang my shirt up, put them on the shirt. Once you pop your shirt on, after you're done with stretching and you're warming up, you know, they clip real quick. You can have a little slide band to tighten them up and down. I like to go tight, just like a sneaker. When you place your shoes up, you like it tight. It's going to loosen up after the game goes, as you run, as your muscles flex. And they never ride up. Some, you know, I've had good success with these, keeping my shirt in. When you're at the free throw line, watching the game, you don't want to be messing with your shirt, messing with your pants. Knee tucks are, you know, the way that helps us to not do that.